Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. And today on the podcast, we have yet another Spotlight episode. Today, we're focusing on the Wii soundtrack to Kirby's Return to Dream Land.
Oh my gosh. Now, everyone on the podcast should know that I'm a really big fan of Kirby music, and I've been so excited to do this Spotlight. You guys know we have this Word document of episode ideas that we've been kind of making bigger and bigger over the years that we've been doing the podcast, and this has been on there for the longest time. I remember, I don't remember what the episode was, but a long time ago in season one, I looked into this soundtrack and I was just blown away with how well Johnny Ishikawa and Hirokazu Ando went back to the classic style of Kirby as far as like really catchy immediate melodies, but how they blended that with modern sounds. I just think it's really one of my favorite modern Nintendo soundtracks that I can think of. I'm just really excited to dive into this soundtrack because I think it's going to be a blast for you guys to listen to.
Yeah, I think especially if you're a fan of any of really the soundtracks Nintendo has been producing as of late, this is obviously very reminiscent of things like Super Mario Galaxy or even Kid Icarus Uprising, to name
Absolutely.
A few. But it also does retain that Kirby quality, I agree.
For the most part, these aren't real orchestral instruments. A lot of this is, you know, is fake instruments. But there is some real performance on this soundtrack. And what I think is interesting is when you think about, I don't know if anyone remembers, but this game had an incredibly long cycle. And there was a long time where people thought it was canceled. It was actually the first traditional console Kirby game ever since Kirby 64 in 2000. And this game didn't come out until 2011. So there were multiple times when it was going to be developed for the GameCube and then scrapped, and then the Wii and then scrapped. And then, you know, obviously the Epic Yarn came before, but that was a completely different development team. This was once again HAL developed this game, and the composers we have is Johnny Ishikawa and Hirokazu Ando. And did they ever step up to the challenge of this? Feels like if I were to introduce someone to Kirby music, this might be the best way to do it, because we've talked, you know, in previous weeks, for example, on our Breath of Fire episode about the barriers of entry of, you know, some SNES music or in general old school video game music. We don't have that here, so the sounds are really nice, the compositions are on the nose. What you guys heard playing in with was the title theme to Kirby's Return to Dream Land. Let's take a listen to the first track we're going to talk about. This is A Visitor from Afar, and every track on the soundtrack is once again composed by Jun Ishikawa and Hirokazu Ando. Let's take a listen to this track. You know, this track really is a great representation of what I was talking about, of combining old and new. You know, these melodies are so simple and so cute, and it really feels at home in the Kirby universe. But here, you're having a lot more kind of interesting, almost film score elements compositionally, but you're mixing retro sounds with orchestral sounds. So this was just, for me, a really nice introduction to kind of get our ears prepared for what we're going to hear in the soundtrack. Now, Will, what are your thoughts on this piece of music?
Well, I think also its placement in just an audio-only kind of soundtrack version is also effective, because we do retain that one little nugget from the title theme, the
and you're going to get that sort of, multiple
that
tracks
that serves
today.
As a B melody. It's not really the main theme, but it is a little B kind of section melody, or just like a little arpeggiated color. But what I like is its context in this piece is very different. And here, it's sort of establishing the tone in starting off the piece, where in the title theme, that theme sort of serves as sort of a counterbalance to the earlier material. So I think it's cool
that's
that not only can you reorchestrate a theme or present it in sort of a different tempo or context, but by placing it at the beginning of a track as opposed to the middle or the end of it, you really kind of change the way that a person hears the music.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I'm a really big fan of the piano tracks because that is real piano performance. So those piano tracks in this soundtrack really do stand out in a good way. Guys, we're playing 21 tracks total today from the soundtrack, and of course, we had to cut a lot of great music. So we're going to now move on to really one of the biggest, one of the most important themes in the game. Other than the title theme, this is a theme that you hear variations throughout the entire soundtrack. This is Cookie Country from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. This is so much fun. Here we go. Listening to Cookie Country, such a that's just a great melody. It feels like classic video game music to me. I love how they keep switching up the instrumentation here. It's a lot longer form just because of that. You know, musically, there's really, you know, we've already repeated all the musical ideas, but what's nice is they're, you know, they're constantly changing up what instruments are playing those ideas. And that flute that I hear reminds me of SNES. It almost like if you were to sample that, it probably would sound like a lot of the Kirby music we heard on the SNES. I just think this is a bubbly, fun track that this is classic Kirby music through and through.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think a little bit to the point you were kind of getting at with the instruments. I actually think in this soundtrack, it's effective not having a real orchestra because to me, when I think of Kirby, I definitely don't think of authentic sounding orchestral writing,
right?
And even the instruments and timbres that come to my head are kind of the general MIDI stuff, because so much of that music has lived on in Smash Brothers since, like you said, there wasn't really a main canon Kirby game on a home console since, you know, the Nintendo 64, and Kirby 64 was definitely not as popular as the NES, SNES, and Game Boy titles. So I do think people kind of associate that music with the more kind of fake sounding.
Oh yeah, you know, absolutely. And that's actually, you know, that's a relief for composers in 2011 working that, okay, it's okay for Kirby games. This doesn't need to be all real orchestra. People are going to be fine with that. No one's going to be expecting that.
And well, they may not have had a choice.
And we talked about Kirby's Epic Yarn. That was a console release, but it was so different in every aspect of the game and musically as well. But yeah, no, this is just a great way to kind of, again, introduce us to kind of some of the musical staples that we're going to be hearing in the soundtrack. Really one of the strongest, obviously one of the strongest themes, because this is one of the main themes that you keep hearing throughout this soundtrack. Great track.
Kirby music really likes to use motifs and little nuggets that will reoccur throughout throughout a game or throughout multiple games. You know, even within this piece, we heard references to tracks from SNES games, and there at the end, we hear that reference back to the title theme again, and I think it's something that you can kind of look forward to throughout the soundtrack.
Absolutely. Well, the next track, guys, we're going to talk about is Forest Area. Let's take a listen to this track. Thank you. Awesome. You guys are listening to Forest Area. You know, I'm going to let Will talk about maybe some of the compositional techniques that make this different from most of the Kirby music, you know, as far as like the era that they're trying to evoke here. But what I wanted to say about this track is what I love, I guess what I love about this soundtrack and why I think it was a standout to me is because it's still the same technique, it's still the same way that they're approaching scoring video game music as they did in the SNES. This is a 38-second loop that says everything it needs to say in a short amount of time. It feels comfortable being looped. Everything about it just feels comfortable. It's very catchy. It's immediate. So I guess in the era of, you know, modern video games, you don't hear this as much. Even in Nintendo games, you don't hear this as much. So I just, that's, I guess, what I really resonate with in the soundtrack.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, I think that's sort of a hallmark of classic video game music in general. And I think that was, there was a clear effort on the part of these composers to either relive things that they had done in the past or mm-hmm. kind of reaffirm the musical style of Kirby being that, you know, we need to have a very clear and present melody. It yep. needs to feel fun. So it, not
bouncy.
Necessarily always happy, but there needs mm-hmm. to be some lively element to it. And I think these composers both have explored the different rhythmic possibilities that Kirby music can have. Because again, they're like, I think a lot of series, you can kind of have a trope or kind of a stereotype in your head of, you know,
right.
a Kirby soundtrack sounds like boom, bap, boom, bap, boom, bap, boom, bap, something mm-hmm. like that. Just like, you know, you could say Mario music sounds like Latin or whatever, mm-hmm. which, I mean, none of that is completely accurate ever. But I think if I could describe Kirby music, and I think this track just as well as any track from NES, Game Boy, or SNES would, I think it's about that lively rhythmic energy.
Yeah.
But the melody was obviously crafted at a much slower tempo, in the combination of a beautiful kind of sonorous melody over this kind of lively, goofy, not yeah. taking itself too seriously.
That's
groove.
Kirby music, isn't it?
It's very undeniable.
Now, before we move on really quickly, Will, did you hear anything differently, anything different about this track? I was hearing the Dorian mode, and why do you think they chose that for the forest theme, the forest area?
Well, I think it's funny. I think we encounter that so often, and it's probably something we don't necessarily always note, but there is that enchanted quality about a forest. It,
yeah.
it does capture the imagination and the mind and so much of kind of folklore and medieval sounding tales. It's just sort of a quick little musical trick to mm-hmm. get that idea in your head, I guess. It may not have even been a conscious choice. It just may have been out of an exploration of the composers mm-hmm. trying to match the tone of the scenery.
Really cool. Well, now, guys, let's move on to what do we got next here? It looks like the next track we're going to play is Peaceful Place from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. Here we go. That puts a smile on my face. You guys are listening to Peaceful Place from... That was a surprising title. I wouldn't... That's not what I would think that song would be called. This is from Kirby's Return to Dreamland, which came out for the Wii in 2011. I love hearing the chip sounds, the incorporation of old-school chip sounds in the soundtrack. You can tell that these composers, you know, have a love of their older work, you know, the older eras, the era that Kirby music originally came from. So I love that, and this is something that Dave was talking about in their interviews, that nostalgia is a really important emotion for Nintendo, and it's something that they actually, when they're actually developing games, they really try to include that because they know that, you know, people that are playing this game, there's a lot of people that came from the original Kirby game and have been with us all throughout all these years. So let's try to, you know, reward those loyal fans here. And I think that's what these composers are doing in a track like this.
Right. I think that melody sounds a lot like Day of the Tentacle, though.
It really does. Yeah, the A section. Yeah, some of that stuff, it's so hard to know. Was that just one composer had a really great idea and another composer separately happened to have the same great idea? And that's what happened?
There's really no way to know with that. And so much of it becomes kind of inarticulate speculation on the part of fans of different composers that can be a little bit infuriating as a musician when you read, oh, this person's a hack because so-and-so bar sounds like something from this. And it's like, if you're really trying to achieve, you know, those good undeniable melodies, you're inevitably going to brush up against some other music. It's just kind of the unfortunate reality of it.
But if you're bored, if anyone's listening to this and doesn't have anything else to do later today, you should listen to the Day of the Tentacle theme and then listen to Peaceful Place.
It's really
side by
great.
Side.
I personally think the Day of the Tentacle theme is better, but I mean, it's not really a fair comparison. That's sort of the main theme of the game.
Well, now I'm excited to move on to our first battle track. This is Boss Battle from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. Ooh, get ready for this one, guys. That is my favorite track so far that we've played. This is Boss Battle from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. I'm a really big fan of the rhythms. Again, you know, we've talked about how Nintendo boss music can have the potential to be so different from most other boss music you hear in video games. With this track, how this track differentiates itself as boss music is it's every bit as catchy as Cookie Country, as Peaceful Place. It's super catchy, but it definitely fits the bill for a boss track because it's more epic, it's more intense. But for me, I still would remember these melodies just as much as something like Cookie Country. I think that's pretty impressive to walk that line.
You know, this really reminds me of Tomoya Tomita's work, both on Epic Yarn and Wario Land Shake It. And knowing that Epic Yarn came out before this game, and they were probably in development around a similar amount of time, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of influence from Tomoya Tomita. And I think whether or not that's true, I do think that type of influence would be interesting, considering that, you know, like Jun Ishikawa and Hirokazu Ando are, you know, veterans of Kirby music, and they've worked on so many titles. So if they can borrow influence from a younger composer like Tomoya Tomita, I think that's really cool. And it shows you that Nintendo doesn't necessarily work in a traditional way, and that they're always open to kind of new ideas.
Well, you know what I think Tomoya Tomita did to these gentlemen is he forced them to step their game up even more, because Kirby's Epic Yarn was a departure in a good way, and it got a lot of critical acclaim as a game in general for the different art style and for the music as well.
Yeah, I think it's really an aesthetic masterpiece just as far as presentation.
The same thing with Wario Land Shake It, you know, got a lot of critical acclaim. So I think when these guys are now coming back to the series after that, you're right, they have to kind of step their game up. They can't just keep doing the same thing they've been doing before.
Well, they're clearly influenced from a lot of the music that Nintendo's doing. I mean, the fact that you can hear similarities between that and obviously like Super Mario Galaxy, they're plugged into what's happening in the company and in games
Good
at
point.
That time.
Now we're going to move on to, we already did Forest Area, so now we're going to do Desert Area. Here we go. We'll be right back. You're listening to Desert Area from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. I really love how these composers, specifically in the Kirby series, use modulation to add even more fun and excitement to this music. The way that, you know, the B section comes in with a really confident key change, and always, you know, how they have clever ways of getting it back to the A section again, I just think it is really impressive. Because again, like Will was saying earlier, when you think of Kirby music, you don't think of like a lot of sophisticated, classical influence, and a lot of really complex composition, but that is there. There is classical influence, and we talked about this in our recent panel at Gamers Rhapsody. We actually played a track from the first Kirby game and talked about that, you know, influence from something like Mozart. But what I think is cool is it's so digestible and it's so almost easy to listen to, and it's very pleasing, that sometimes these techniques kind of go unsung. And I just, that's what I'm looking forward to this episode, is to give this music the credit that it's due.
Well, I notice it a lot in kind of the rhythms, because I feel like with contemporary music, when you have a melody that's moving that swiftly with a lot of kind of fast movement where it's less kind of clear and lyrical, rhythms tend to be a little bit more even, or there'll be a sense of like a string of rhythms, a dotted note, and then something else. But it's a very kind of classical idea of having the da 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 da. That type of rhythm you don't hear as much in contemporary music. So I think especially in video games, that type of classical fusion really helps to kind of almost make the Kirby music feel self-aware, because it is indulging these kind of goofy, fun aspects. But when the melodies and the chords and rhythms can kind of retain this faux snobbishness, I guess it makes the music really seem
a timeless,
self-aware, and almost like it's making a joke to
well,
some
extent.
Well,
that's a great point. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I noticed that maybe more on a subconscious level. I don't know how much I verbalized it or how much I really thought about it, but
I
was working on that Kirby album, there were so many times I remember that I would put in a line and it wouldn't work. The rhythm, it felt out of place. And I think what was happening is I was trying to incorporate, maybe in that moment, too modern of a rhythm, or just a rhythm that isn't inherently classical. And I think I remember that happening when I was working on that, where I had to go back and I had to really kind of work on coming up with a rhythm that felt like it would be at home in the Kirby series.
Well, you know, because when I hear a lot of these melodies, I actually like, I hear a character talking, because they convey a very specific attitude, a lot of them. For example, that peaceful place, you know, we're talking, that doesn't necessarily sound peaceful, but I think it's going for something different. It's peaceful in terms of the game, but I think the location is meant to seem alive and kind of fun, and having a little bit of that snarkiness gives it an attitude. It's kind of like, you know, if you're playing a game where you're Peter Pan, your home base is going to be around the Lost Boys. And just because it's safe in the game doesn't mean the music is going to be devoid of anything spontaneous and life-giving. And I think this is going for kind of an edgier, fun, goofy, alive universe.
And I think another thing that's important to note is why this kind of snarky music fits so well is you got to think about the character of Kirby and what he's doing throughout this entire game. He's eating people up and taking their abilities. So you can't have music that's just only nice. You have to have a little bit of snarkiness. I think it really fits the character. So now we're going to move on to Oasis Area. Here we go. Love, love, love that track. You guys are listening to Oasis Area from Kirby's Return to Dreamland, once again composed by the wonderful Jun Ishikawa and Hirokazu Ando. I really love the incorporation of the real electric bass, and it adds so much character to this piece. It's really the heart and soul of this piece. You know, a lot of tracks in the Kirby series have a ska or a reggae feel. This one's no exception. But for me, the bass is the superstar on this track. What are your thoughts, Will?
You know, I gotta say, there's something I'm so jealous of. And I think that one of those things would be that living in America, composers don't really have a unified sense of musical culture. You know, we're not really as plugged into folk music, and we don't have as long of a tradition as a lot of countries do around the world. And also, there isn't that kind of same trend in pop music, at least not anymore, where it feels like composers will all kind of their headspace will go to a similar place when they're composing. And it's something I'm really kind of jealous about when I listen to a lot of Japanese video game music, because so much of it, you know, harmonically, melodically, it really feels like, in a good way, things that I've heard before, whether in film music or in other video games or pop music. In there seems to be that kind of unspoken connection between all those composers.
A lot of those things aren't Japanese, which I think is so cool. A lot of these influences could be American influences, American pop, funk, jazz.
But I think it's more about kind of a unified cultural understanding of kind of what the language, musical language, is, and what is sort of current. You can kind of look at it. It's sort of like a nationalistic sort of thing, but less about, you know, one specific culture and just more about a unification of music.
Yeah, you know, guys, this winter we're not having a snow and ice episode. We've done that. If you're interested, we might do a Throwback Thursday, maybe this coming week, and post that ice and snow episode we did in, I think, like season two. But in place of that, we're going to have the next track is definitely a nice winter theme track. This is Snowball Scuffle, and I actually got a little bit of winter vibes in that last track, even though it was Oasis area, but definitely going to get some more in this track. Snowball Scuffle from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. I love this track. So beautiful. This is Snowball Scuffle from Return to Dreamland. This is definitely an Ishikawa track. I hear a lot of similar chord movement from Kirby's Dreamland 3. A lot of kind of the melodic footprint that Ishikawa has in the Kirby series is so present on this track. This might be the most beautiful track that I've heard so far in our playlist. This one really does it for me. The bridge sections have so much interesting modulation and surprising jazz changes that it's surprising, I think, in a good way. What are your thoughts on the surprising chord changes in this piece? Definitely more surprising than what we've heard so far.
It's hard. I find myself not being too surprised by them because they're similar modulations that he uses throughout the series.
Right, right.
But in general, I guess I'm not someone who likes to be surprised in terms of like music like this, in terms of video game music. I actually kind of prefer things to feel comfortable, not in a benign or boring way, but just in a way that doesn't jump out. But I'm able to forgo that morality when looking at Kirby music, because I think the specific intention behind it is to be lively, is to be goofy. Everything about it is attention seeking. So it totally gels with the aesthetic, with the vibe of the
music.
And
also for me, hearing those moments is really exciting to me. It feels like I'm going on a journey when I hear those moments, you know? So for me, I love it.
It's just oftentimes in video games, because you have a relatively short loop, if there is too much modulation, it becomes kind of like you start to hear those points and the loop starts to feel a little bit more segmented and it loses its life. Or when you just kind of stay within one key, it'll almost sound like the band is playing a repeat, or it's like, it feels like the music is still kind of alive and it just has a form much like a, you know, a song or a piece of classical music.
Well, the next two pieces of music are really nice departures. Both of them are pretty spacey and beautiful. The first one we're going to play is Aurora Area. Here we go. Pretty stuff. You guys are listening to Aurora Area from Return to Dreamland, one of the most common techniques to start off a B section as far as Ishikawa in the Kirby series is to start it on the flat sixth chord. A lot of times he's, you know, rocking the five chord. So let's say if you're in C, you know, you're playing a G major chord and then going to that usually A flat major seven is such an effective way to start off the bridge, which, you know, takes you into this more dreamy space. Everything about this track is dreamy. It has a kind of a nice Latin groove underneath it, though, which is pretty cool. But the next track really elevates kind of this. This must be a particular area in the game, you know, where you have that really kind of spacey sine lead. But yeah, I'm really excited to get to the next track. But is there anything about this track that you wanted to say, Will, before we move on?
I guess I gotta say, I love that lead instrument, but we can talk about that more because I know we're both really excited about the next track.
Oh my gosh. And you should be as well, because guys, the next track is this week's track of the week. Mew, 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 mew! It's called Nutty Noon from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. And yeah, it must be featured in a particular section of the game that must be pretty spacey. If anyone, again...
I think windy,
spacey.
I think it sounds like wind.
Anyone knows the context, feel free to shoot us a comment. We love this track, and the reason why we picked this, and Will can elaborate after we play it, is it's definitely a change of pace, and it's a standout track from the soundtrack. It's not a quintessential track. Like, if I were to show someone one track from the soundtrack, it wouldn't be this one, and it's not necessarily, you know, reminiscent of other tracks you hear, but I think because of that, it's a standout track, and it's doing things, just going in a lot of different directions. I think it's a fitting track of the week. Well, let's take a listen to Nutty Noon. Thank you. This is a good track just to kind of zone out to in the dark, just maybe kind of laying on your bed, just pondering your existence.
I assume you've done this?
Maybe. This is Nutty Noon from Kirby's Return to Dreamland, composed by Johnny Shikawa, most likely on this track.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I love that because that melody, I don't think of, you know, using kind of a portamento instrument with sort of an imprecision when it comes to pitch for a line like ba da ba da ba da ba da ba, you know, I think of that being a line that would require some attack,
but
especially
it's really
when you're
cool.
having notes at that kind of intimate range with each other. But it's really effective, the kind of leg that's created. It's a really gorgeous melody, and it's much more kind of striking emotionally with that instrument because it almost sounds like a sound that would be created in nature, but it's making music with the other instruments.
Well, it feels like I'm just floating when I'm listening. I feel like I'm just floating in space or floating on a cloud. It's just it's very spacey, relaxing music. It'd be interesting to see the use in the game. Like, I want to know what section of the game, what level are these two tracks from?
I'm going to go with wind. I think it's windy.
Windy zone. Windy area. Well, I know the area of the game where the next couple tracks are. We're going to now move on to the sky portion. We're going to play two tracks that take place in the sky. The first one is Sky Waltz. This is a fun one. Here we go. You know what I love about this track is it's an equal combination of, for me, Mario Sunshine and Mario Galaxy. I'm hearing elements that remind me of like kind of Noki Bay or underwater exploration. I also hear, obviously, with this violin line here, some Galaxy elements. It doesn't feel that Kirby to me. It feels a little bit more Mario. What do you think, Will?
It's so funny that you mentioned Noki Bay, because when I first listened to this, I thought the intro reminded me of the Sandbird from Mario Sunshine.
Ah, yeah, that might be more of what I'm thinking of. But yeah, I think it's a really great track, and I'm actually a big fan of that violin sample that they use. I think it sounds, you know, it's not fooling anyone that it's real, but it's really pretty, and I think it's, you know, every instrument choice, the pan flute, kind of the spacey pads. I think all the instrument choices in general in this whole soundtrack, they did a really good job of choosing what instruments were going to play these melodies. Is that something, Will, that you think they decided last? You know, I know we have a method of working on music and every composer does, but do you get the sense that they composed these songs on the piano and then went and chose instruments for each track? Or do you think they had going into it, okay, we're going to want this one to be pan flute, we're going to need this to be solo violin?
I think a little bit of both. I think part of it is these composers have so much experience under their belt, and I do notice that with Nintendo music, it's less about instrument authenticity and more about unique pairings and timbres that are created when you combine multiple instruments. So I think a lot of that is just sort of intuitive, you know?
They're
probably used to these virtual instruments in the kind of faux-sounding MIDI stuff, so they know what sounds good together, and they know if I'm doing kind of a sky theme, these are probably the instruments I'm going to choose. So it's probably all happening around the same time. But I think it's probably dependent on the composer. You know, I mean, I know some people write at the piano, some people write away from it. Sometimes ideas just come. I'd be curious to see. I suspect that there's a little bit of writing at the piano with these composers. And I also suspect a little bit of directly inputted music. I think so too. A lot of kind of things that you could just come up while walking down the street, because there's a lot of kind of intricate melodies. Yeah. Ironically, you think of Kirby music being simple, and it is, but it's the type of simplicity that you kind of need to either write down or play. It's not really super singable, where I think like Mario is very kind of simple as far as that you could follow it almost like a vocal line in a song.
And it's cool to know that Koji Kondo does write a lot of those classic Mario themes, just kind of humming, going about his day in the shower or what have you. So now we're going to play the second Sky track. And now we've played this before, I think, in our Clouds and Sky episode. This is Sky Tower, one of my contenders for track of the week, one of my absolute favorite melodies in this whole soundtrack. And let's talk a little bit, Will, after we play this, about maybe kind of recap some of the things we mentioned in our Clouds and Sky episode of maybe how this track is evoking the unique kind of subgenre of sky music.
This one makes me, it reminds me of like Sonic Colors, or like a modern Sonic soundtrack, like a good one, like where it's instrumental.
Let's take a listen to Sky Tower. About this soundtrack is it almost feels like these are remixes of older Kirby tunes. I mean, if this was a track that was in an early Kirby game, it almost feels like this would be something you'd hear an OC remix. Like, let's say Sky Tower was originally in like Kirby Superstar or something. This kind of reminds me of kind of the modern remix scene. Really, really well done. Now, Will, do you think there is something inherent to this piece of music that evokes the feeling of, you know, maybe flight or sky or clouds? Or do you think it just happens to be called that?
That part that just passed, that change of rhythm there, is very soaring, and it couples with the modulation. There's a huge sense of soaring to it. Even if you were to look at the notes like on sheet music, they'd probably be slurred together, and they have this huge arc. There's something kind of, there's a liftoff that occurs with some of that, and I think there is a lot of kind of speed and energy to this one, which isn't something that I necessarily think of. I think of Sky being a little bit more kind of long and connected,
which we got in Sky Waltz. Those moments.
But yeah, something I noticed about this music, and I really liked the point that you were making, Carl, earlier about how it almost sounds like a remix, because what it makes it seem is that not only is the music trying to be faithful to old school video games and, you know, the old Kirby games, but it's also presenting it in a modern way, and not just by using contemporary virtual instruments, but just sort of the choices in production and arrangement are an attempt to contemporize music that is meant to feel old school. So it's the combining of the old and the new, I think.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, Will. Absolutely. So now we're going to move on to another piano track. And again, I'm a really big fan of these because they feel like they're really important, because there's only a few of them in the soundtrack. This is really, really pretty stuff. Let's take a listen to Grape Garden.
Thank you.
This part here reminds me of a Ben Folds 5 song a little bit, but
yeah, that kind of constantly active rhythmic movement in the left hand.
But in general, this is one of my favorite tracks in the game. You're listening to Grape Garden. Really nice real bass playing. Again, that electric bass adds so much character. Really great piano sound here. Will was noticing that it's very compressed, which really kind of just makes it pop and really makes it very present in the mix here, I think.
And when we say compressed, we're not talking about necessarily the same type of compression that you might think where it distorts it or makes it sound worse. It is doing that to some degree, but most modern music actually has a lot of compression on it, and it gives it clarity. It gives it sort of a punch and a pop to it that actually makes it sound... in an ironic way, almost more
better.
High fidelity.
Yeah,
just because
it is a different type of compression. And when we say that word most of the time on the podcast, it's usually a negative connotation. This is not a negative connotation at all, as far as, you know, the production goes. They added nice compression to the piano, which really makes it pop. So now we're going to move on to a track called "Let Me Explain Everything." Listening to "Let Me Explain Everything" from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. This one really throws you for a loop. One thing I really like about this track is when you start it off, especially, you know, knowing the title, you just think you're hearing a pretty piano ending, you know, kind of an ending piece of the game. You're not expecting all the different directions that it goes to. It gets pretty epic. I think it sounds really good. I'm a really big fan of the composition. Just the work that they put in to this track, you know, the production, tying all these different themes together, the transitions between each of the different sections, I think are really strong, really fluid. It does not feel kind of out of place. It doesn't feel disjointed to me. It feels, I don't know, on the nose. I'm a really big fan. It's almost like this overture of the game, really, in a lot of ways.
Well, it's funny because I agree with you. I think the writing is very sophisticated, and it's more sophisticated than I expect from Kirby music as far as its use of the orchestra. It's one of the few moments actually where the fakeness of the samples is sort of a little bit of a negative thing, where I think for the most part it makes it sound like itself, because especially that brass, like that just sounds like Kirby to me, because I so associate it with all the Smash Brothers games. But I think this one is going for a little bit more of like an actual orchestral sound. You know, we hear instruments from all the different groups in the orchestra. I mean, we hear a bassoon at times. The string work is very complicated and intricate. And I think it just sort of becomes one of the few moments where when you do kind of step back and realize, you know, this isn't from 2002 or anything. This is from 2011 when, you know, good quality orchestral samples, or better yet, you know, actual live recorded music is more of the standard. I do think that kind of can bring it down a little bit.
Well, now we're going to move on to one of my favorites. This is a really standout piece of music in my opinion. I love this track. This is Another Dimension. One thing I want you guys to listen out for before we play this is the really cool combination of synth mixed with piano. You're going to hear melodies that are doubled with those two instruments, and I think it creates a really good timbre, and it goes back to what we've talked about a couple weeks ago about you're not necessarily worrying too much about which instruments you want to double with each other. You just are worrying about what timbres you want together and the overall effect that that creates. So let's take a listen, you know, let's keep that in mind as we listen to Another Dimension. That's how it's done, folks. That is how it's done. This is Another Dimension from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. You guys hear that really, really short nod to Green Greens from the first Kirby game? Did you guys also hear the really cool Mario World-esque way that he's taking the title theme and doing it in a minor key? Reminds me of how Koji took the Mario World theme, did it in the castle. Oh my gosh, I'm a really big fan of this melody. I think it's a lot of strong content here. Again, I'm a fan of the, you know, having piano mixed with synth, guitar, just everything about this. I say yes to, I give it 2 thumbs up.
Absolutely. You know, I think what's cool about the soundtrack is it's sort of a modern day example of what Nintendo stands for, which is that they always put more emphasis on, you know, creative, lively, beautiful music with good melodies. And their opinion about, you know, the quality of instrument samples or even recording a live orchestra, it's much like the relationship that they have with, you know, hardware specs on their home consoles, where it's always sort of an afterthought and they're always late to the game. And I think from the outside, people might be scratching their head, you know, it's like these games make so much money and so many people care about it.
Why wouldn't you put more effort
into making the music sound,
I think it's priorities,
up to the standards.
They're
a little bit stubborn in that regard, and that they kind of have their own standards for what they think is important. And it is kind of cool that in many ways there is a similarity between, you know, music and gameplay development and hardware development.
Eventually, though, you reach a point where there almost is an objective standard that if these tracks featured real performers and featured real orchestra, it would elevate every aspect of them. And it's not a point where it's like, no, I really wanted to use these VSTs. Like, I think they didn't have the budget they didn't prioritize this game enough. So,
but I think it's also that there is something to be said about the fact that they put their priorities on music first as far as, you know, melodies and things of that nature. And again, it is another example of limitations. You know, when you do have an orchestra, you can kind of have a less is more approach of having those instruments.
We love this kind of music here on the podcast because it's inherently so video gamey. We love hearing fake instruments. It's so nostalgic. That's like all we ever heard for most of the history of video game music was fake instruments. So we're definitely not opposed to hearing lively,
melodies. An orchestra in a game, even in modern music, and I know it's been around for a while, I still am constantly just like, I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm so appreciating every second of it.
Hearing a lively, catchy melody on a fake instrument, that's like, I'm really comfortable. That's like, I feel like I'm at home when that happens. instruments. It's very comforting. So now we're going to move on to one of the final boss themes that you hear in the game. We're going to play a couple of final epic boss themes. This is a really cool track called Super Copy Boss. You guys just heard it ramp up the next layer of the boss here. This is Super Copy Boss. It's also the first part was Super Copy Ability. What you're hearing right now is Super Copy Boss, kind of a mix from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. No, I think this is a really effective, you know, it's like it's kind of ramping up the emotions, it's ramping up the tempos, it's making it kind of more shredding. You're hearing a lot more 30-second notes. But what I think is cool is they're not just kind of throwing away the melodies. You're still having really solid melodies, and sometimes the most emotional melodies. And we're going to hear this in one of the final tracks we're going to play, where it's almost the peak of emotions for the soundtrack. So I'm really, you know, I really respect that from these guys. But I think now, for the sake of time, let's move on. Looks like we got three more tracks to talk about today. Another battle track from the end of the game. This is Megalore Battle. Here we go. I wish you guys could have seen, but I was headbanging to this track. This rocks. This is Megalore Battle from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. Let's talk about those displaced, rhythmic displacement that happens in that one section. The dun 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 dun. I can't even, like, I don't even know how to notate that. All I know is that I love it, I guess.
Right.
I really, really resonate with this track a lot.
Well, Carl, being a drummer, I know that you're really into kind of complicated, intricate rhythms because you can kind of hear them clearer than anybody else. Like, sometimes I'll notice with Carl, like, if I make a mistake on something or if there's, like, some really simple rhythm, Carl will, like, want to interpret it as something really complicated because he can't believe that my futile, you know, Nimrod brain would come up with something so simple.
Oh, man. No, this piece rocks. It's the absolute peak of rock for the soundtrack. There's not really any competition. It's kind of almost the sole thrash track in the soundtrack, but I think it's really, really good.
I don't know. Cookie Country, that's a good rock piece.
Cookie Country, Cookie Cutter. No, I'm just kidding. I love Cookie Country. Now we're going to move on to, yes, it's another battle theme, but this is my favorite. I think this is my personal favorite track in the game. I voted for this for track of the week. Will really dug Nutty
I shot
Noon,
you down.
And I love that track too, so, you know, we kind of compromised with that one.
We compromised by going with the one that I wanted.
right, which... You know, now I'm seeing how wrong of a choice that was. So just know, guys, that this is my personal favorite. This is Crowned, and it's officially spelled C-R-O-W-N-E-D. So
in
that's what we're
going to
call
spell.
It. That's what we're going to call the name of this track. Here we go. I love the way that those lines are passed between the orchestra here. This is, in my opinion, this is the peak of emotional music for this soundtrack. It feels like film score, and that's something I never hear from Kirby music. So I was really pleased to hear this track. This is Crowned.
It honestly reminds me of Zelda. It sounds a lot like Twilight Princess.
Mm, interesting, yeah. Again, guys, there's a dash in between each of the letters in this track. I am just a really big fan of the way that that line is passed through the different instruments. I'm also a big fan of, again, they're coming up with really interesting ways to call back to the title theme and to the Cookie Country theme. And even to the Green Greens and other classic Kirby tunes in this track. It's something that when it starts, you're not expecting that. It kind of gets a little bit more optimistic as the track goes on, which I think definitely would fit the gameplay.
Well, I think it works with Kirby because, for example, if I was playing a Legend of Zelda game and there was no, you know, main Zelda theme, but it was nothing but just kind of bastardized remixes of that melody, I'd probably be really pissed off. Like, I remember seeing Harry Potter 4 in the theater, and the score was by Patrick Doyle, and his predecessor was John freaking Williams, and not only was the score not as good, but Patrick Doyle got a couple notes wrong when he redid the melody for the Harry Potter theme. So it's just kind of like there's certain themes where I feel like when you kind of remix and change up, it gets frustrating. But I think Kirby is the right balance where, you know, that Green Greens theme is classic and really memorable, but it's not necessarily the main theme of Kirby. So I think that's why it works to have those kind of callbacks, because you're not necessarily expecting to hear a fully realized version of it or anything.
It's so triumphant. It's one of the most triumphant themes I can think of in video game music, so I love to hear it in these later series. So now we're going to play the last track we're going to talk about. This is Road to Victory from Return to Dreamland. 3-2-1-0. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us. We had a great time. I can only speak for myself, but I know that I really am a big fan of this soundtrack. Once again, the composers for Kirby's Return to Dreamland are Jun Ishikawa and Hirokazu Ando. This track is Road to Victory. It uses themes from A Visitor from Afar. The title theme, again, it's using old themes from the Kirby series. It's really effective. I think it's a good way to wrap up our look at this soundtrack. I want you guys to stick with us next week because we have an interesting episode on simulation games. Now, we're really going to be stretching that idea of what is a simulation game. But I know that's something that was actually idea Will had for an episode, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Basically, what I think it's going to be is we're going to have games, obviously, like The Sims and, you know, Roller Coaster Tycoon, when you think of those kind of like godlike view games.
Yeah, that'll fit.
But also, I think we're going to use that title to talk about
Ace Combat.
Simulation, you know, Ace Combat, Pilot Wings, games where you're kind of being put in a situation and it's less about like action gameplay and it's more like experiencing what it's like to do a certain activity.
So that's going to be fun. Once again, guys, I want to thank you for sticking with us this season. If you're new to the podcast, first of all, welcome. We're really happy to have you. We hope that you stick with us. And if you ever have an idea or, you know, a track that you want to share, a game composer you want to share, shoot us an email. You can get in touch with us at our website, supermercadobros.com. There's a contact page. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel.
And if you see us in person, you can give us a hug. We love
we
hugs.
Really appreciate that. And also, if you're really enjoying this podcast, we do have a donate button on the right side of our podcast page. You know, we do actually have to contribute money from our own pocket to keep the show going. So we'd greatly appreciate that.
And if you really, really like our podcast, you can walk up to us on the street and just hand us a dollar.
That is the top tier level of like. So guys, thanks again. We're going to play you out with A Dream of Sky in the Fountain of Rainbows, a beautiful track from Return to Dreamland. Once again, my name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out and happy holidays.